Good afternoon. The meeting will come to order. The clerk will note the roll. There is a quorum. Members, we have one agenda item today. That's the Higher Education Bill, House File 3924. Representative Nornes moves that House File 3924 be recommended to pass and referred to the General Register. Representative Nornes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have an author's amendment I'd like to offer at this time.
All right. Do you want to do that? Representative Nornes moves the 821 amendment. Representative Nornes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll just briefly describe what it does. In Section 33 of the bill, beginning on page 18, line 20, it's creating a Higher Education English Proficiency Task Force. This is part of the Representative Pygerkin's amendment. It removes the private college student representative from that task force at their request. So they're in favor of this amendment. And that's because this provision doesn't really apply to the private colleges. The next item is Section 37, beginning on page 21, line 3. That establishes a task force to study University of Minnesota licensing agreements and any negative impacts on Minnesota businesses that arise from these agreements. And this is dealing with apples licensed by the university. So what this amendment will do, it will make the representative from the University of Minnesota Extension Service chair of that task force. We'll keep a representative of the Minnesota Department of Agriculture on the task force. It just switches those two around. It also deletes language that charges the task force with setting the license agreement already contracted for the Minnesota 1914 apple. The author of that is Representative Erdahl, and he supports the amendment. So if there's any questions, we can answer it. Otherwise, that's the bill, or the amendment.
Okay, any questions on the 821 amendment? Seeing no discussion, all in favor of the 821 amendment, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The 821 amendment is adopted. Representative Nornes, there's also the A19 amendment. Did you want to take that, Representative Nornes? That's the veterans provision?
That would be fine.
Okay, Representative Nornes moves the A19 amendment. Representative Nornes.
I'll have Mr. Berg briefly explain that to you.
Mr. Berg.
Mr. Chairman, members, the impact of this is found in Subdivision 2. It appropriates $100,000 to the Minsky Board of Trustees for coordination of veterans services or coordination of services to veterans. This provision is in what is from the Severson Veterans Service Bill. That bill has been split up, and parts of it have gone to taxes, and parts are in the state government bill. The remaining part that deals with higher education is contained in Subdivision 2 here.
Okay, Representative Silberger.
Mr. Chair, I understand this is just the appropriations part of it, and that's fine. But in the policy part of the state government finance bill, for this particular appropriation, there was also a sunset provision. I think the sunset provision was 2012, if I recall right. There was a report out that I can't remember. So I assume that the policy committee or the policy for this appropriation is not being carried in this bill, but is being carried in the state government finance bill. Is that correct?
Representative Nornes or Mr. Berg?
Mr. Yes. Chair, Representative Solberg, all that would be in higher ed bill relative to this is the appropriation. I possibly, Representative Seifert, could speak to what's in the state government bill.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Representative Solberg,
I know in the state government finance, besides the appropriation, there's also the policy of, and there is a sunset provision in it. I'm comfortable with this amendment, but I want to make sure that this amendment and the policy that goes with it and the other bill are coordinated in the end.
Representative Solberg, did you have another question?
No, I'm just comfortable. I just want to make sure that this appropriation and the policy that spends this appropriation are tracked, and I know that there is a major thing that was discussed, and that is the sunset provision of the policies of this.
Okay. Representative Hunt, please.
Mr. Chair, and I guess the author, line 1.5 of this amendment, Board of Regents of the University of Minnesota, Rochester, is there such a thing?
Well, Representative Huntley, actually Representative Norris, I'll just direct that question to you. Or Mr. Berg.
You're questioning whether we have a Board of Regents in Rochester. Is that what you're reading into that line?
That's what Mr. Chair and Representative Norris, it says the Board of Regents of the University of Minnesota Rochester. I didn't know we had a Board of Regents of the University of Minnesota Rochester.
As I read that, I think it means that it's all one. It's the University of Minnesota - Rochester, which includes Rochester. It doesn't mean it exclusively is Rochester. I think that's how I would read that.
I wonder, would we be better off if we just deleted on page 1, line 5, the - and word Rochester Council?
Mr. Chairman, yes, I believe that's an error in the amendment.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, you have the same thing.
Oh, no. 1.7, I see that. Thank you, Representative Solberg. Okay. Representative Norris, are you willing to incorporate the change of page 1, line 5, delete the - and word Rochester at the end of the sentence, or at the end of the line?
Only if it's clear that that money is going to Rochester and not to the university campus in the Twin Cities.
I think that is done, you know, by 1.7.
What's that? No. Mr. Chair, you wanted both references to Rochester deleted? Is that what?
No, just the one on line 5.
Okay, then I'm fine with that.
Okay. All right. Representative Norris incorporates that change, page 1, line 5, delete - Rochester at the end of the line. Other discussion to the A-19 amendment, Representative Dempsey, then Seifert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On line 1.116, it says to facilitate the provision of assistance to veterans. What kind of assistance is that universal? Or could you explain that to me a little bit, Representative Norris?
Representative Norris.
Representative Dempsey, repeat to you where you're looking in the bill. I just got my copy.
Okay. On line 1.16, to facilitate provisions of assistance to veterans, that's...
Oh, you're looking at the amendment there.
Then the amendment is A-19.
And the question?
And the question is, line 1.16, it talks about the provision of assistance to veterans. Could you explain that to me? What kind of assistance is it going to be?
Representative Norris.
It's also part of the state government finance bill where it specifies what that is, and Representative Seifert can probably give you a little more detailed answer on that.
Okay, perhaps I can recognize Representative Seifert.
Mr. Chair, Representative Dempsey, section 197.585, which is referenced on 1.17, is cross-referenced in the omnibus state government finance bill. It is the provision that allows for higher education veterans assistance offices. It went through quite a bit of work in my committee over a two-day period in working with the Veterans Affairs Department and members of the committee. We came up with the language. There's an A, B, and C. I don't know if you want me to read it all. It basically provides for veterans assistance outreach offices at universities around the state where they determine there's a need. there needs to be a report back to the chairs of the House and Senate committees with jurisdiction over Veterans Affairs policy on the effectiveness of how they're helping veterans. And then the last item is that the section expires at the end of the first fiscal year in which the number of veterans enrolled in Minnesota public institutions is less than 4,000, but no later than June 30th, 2012. And the reason for that was we have kind of an influx of veterans right now, and we thought it would be good to put a sunset provision so the legislature can reauthorize this if it looks like it's something that's not needed, and maybe the money could be given to county veterans officers or somewhere else that the vets think that they would want it. So it's actually the language is cross-referenced in the state government finance bill because we have jurisdiction over the Veterans Affairs Department. But the money is carried here because this particular $100,000 goes to MNSCU, which is a higher ed appropriation. Mr. Marks, correct me if I'm wrong on anything I just said. Does that sound right? Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, other discussion to the A-19 amendment as amended? Seeing no further discussion, all in favor of the A-19 amendment as amendment, as amended, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. The A-19 amendment is adopted. Are there any other amendments? Discussion to the bill. Then Representative Nornes, we haven't really talked a lot about the bill so far. These were both sort of technical amendments. Perhaps you should give us a review of the bill.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I'd like Mr. Berg to walk through the financial portion of... That's what you're most interested in, I think, at this time.
Okay. Mr. Berg.
Mr. Chairman, members, you should have in your packets from last night, or I hope today, 8.5 by 11 sheet that is labeled 2006 Higher Education Finance. There are only four financial provisions in the bill. If you look at the third column over House Committee Bill 2006-2007, the first item is a change in eligibility of schools for the state grant program. It basically says that to be participant in the state grant program, a school has to also participate in federal Title IV financial aid programs. That's primarily the Pell Grant program. The Office of Higher Education estimates that that will save about $400,000 a year in the state grant program, as some schools will just currently participate in state grants but not federal programs will choose to not participate in either, or new schools will choose not to participate that would have. And that's a permanent change. The second item you see is also a state grant eligibility change. That's a student residency change, which clarifies that active duty military personnel, their immediate families, and people who were relocated from a presidentially declared disaster area who had to interrupt their education because of the disaster are also eligible. The Office of Higher Education estimates that will cost $100,000 to the state grant fund in 2007 and $50,000 a year thereafter, for a net change to the state grant fund of minus $300,000 in 2007 and minus $350,000 a year thereafter. You see then the next item down is an appropriation of $5 million for the University of Minnesota for establishing programs at a Rochester campus. That is an appropriation of $5 million for the current biennium, and it has assumed tails, and there's a rider in the bill that sets the base at $5 million for 2008 and $6.33 million for 2009. And then the next item down was just added to the bill. It is the $100,000 appropriation that was in the Severson Veterans Bill to Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. That's $100,000 in 2007 and 2008 and 2009. And if you go to the bottom, then you see that in 2007 there's a net general fund impact in this bill of $4.8 million, which is the same as the target for this bill.
Okay, discussion to the bill. Representative Kelleher.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that one part of this bill deserves some special recognition today, and partly because I think we have a lot of guests in the audience. And Representative Nornes, I want to thank you for including it in your bill, and that is what has been called the DREAM Act. And I also want to commend the Higher Education Committee for including it, I think, on a unanimous vote into this bill. And particularly, I also want to thank Representative Hamilton for authoring it this year as the lead author. Members, I'm pleased that there wasn't an amendment offered today. This is simply about a matter of making sure that children who attend Minnesota public schools have the access to the tools that they need to succeed and be full members of our society in higher education. And in fact, Mr. Chair, if you don't mind, I think we have so many folks here for this. If you would indulge me for a second, would you mind if they would stand in the audience just so we can see them? I know they were prepared to testify if they needed to, but if they could just stand up. I would like members to know the work that they have done in this committee and other committees to see their faces, and we won't get to hear from them today. I'm not going to ask for testimony, but if you wouldn't mind, if they could stand.
But Representative Kelleher, I think that, you know, I'm trying to make sure that we can fit in this with the tax committee starting at 3 o'clock, but I think that if they want to stand, that would be fine.
Folks, so if you'd stand if you came for the DREAM Act, I would appreciate that. And Mr. Chair, I know you want to keep this short, but if I could yield a moment of my time to Representative Rukavina, because I know he has something he wanted to read to all of us today that I think fits very well into
Mr.
this.
Mr. Chairman, I've heard enough from Rukavina in the tax committee this morning. I think
Okay, I'll recognize Representative Rukavina.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't know if any of you, happen to read a letter that you got from Mr. George Wozniak, whose father used to be on the Court of Appeals here in the state of Minnesota. But what it is, members, is Mr. Wozniak just sent us all a copy of this. I think we all got it. And when their father died here last August, they were trying to get things in order, and they found a safety deposit box. That he had a safety deposit box in a bank, and there was no key for it, and they had it drilled open, and they saw in the safety deposit box a little envelope, and on the outside was written a final message to my children. And here's the message, members, to my children. Always keep in mind your roots, your heritage, and think and remember the sacrifices and the courage of your grandparents. Without that, there would have been no success for Mother or me or you. So never forget those who come or try to come to our shores, not the poor, the handicapped, or defenseless. Remember all, not in charity, but in justice. Members, it's pretty appropriate for this bill today and actually for what's going on in this country today. And as the son of grandson of four immigrants, these are the same kind of words my dad always used to say to me to never forget my roots. And you know, there's some leaders in this state that probably should have had a dad leave them a message in a safety deposit box too. So I hope that members think of the words of this really nice guy used to sit in front of me when we had the state of the state and the appeals court judges would come and sit in front of us there where they sit by me and Representative Yados. And so members, keep this in mind. This is a country of immigrants. Most of us at this table, in fact all of us I think, are immigrants one way or the other. That's right, not you. I said most. And so think about that as we look at this bill today and the reason why there's a lot of members in this audience.
Well, Representative Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just briefly, to you, Chair Norris, and to the Higher Education Committee, I think the state of Minnesota owes you gratitude. And I realize that it's close to me because it is in the Rochester area, but members, and I suspect that people from Rochester have visited every one of you and explained to you the terrific investment here in a very highly specialized area that is good for healthcare and good for economic development in Minnesota. Thanks.
Representative Holbert.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Norris, can you tell me if Section 1 of the bill that was ever heard in civil law?
Is that
kind of unusual to have data practices in omnibus bills, and I'm just
yes.
curious if civil law heard that language.
The representative, the answer to your question is yes, it was. It was heard in civil law.
And Mr. Chair, and maybe there's somebody else on the civil law committee, does anybody know why it wasn't offered as an amendment to the Omnibus Data Practices Bill?
Mr. Chair, maybe counsel can help us with that.
Sorry, what was that?
I said maybe counsel can help us with the question.
Okay, counsel, can you answer that question?
Mr. Chairman, my understanding is that it was heard in civil law and re-referred to the Higher Education Committee. And I'm not certain if it was offered also as an amendment to the
bill. Well, Mr. Chair, I was there putting the data practices bill together, and it was not offered as an amendment to the data practices bill, and I was surprised to see it in the bill, so I was just curious what track the bill took.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative Stolberg.
If you look on the top, the bill had also the track to the Civil Law Committee.
Mr. Chair, I think the
Representative Norna.
Since this was included in our bill, I think the author, Representative Marquardt, didn't feel necessary to take it in another direction as well.
Representative Sikora.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have one question on page 4, and it's up under, it's actually on line 4.8 and 4.9. Students would be required to legalize or file an application to legalize immigration status, or will file an application at the earliest opportunity you're eligible to do so. Is that age 18? What is the earliest opportunity someone is eligible to file for legal status?
Representative Sikora?
Representative Morris.
I believe it's 18.
18. So since they've made someone would be applying at 17, that would be a requirement they would have to then later fulfill?
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay.
Okay. Members, I'm going to ask for a roll call on the bill. Other discussion to the bill. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Nornes, can you tell me the rationale for Section 5, which deletes performance reporting? Is that just a situation where the reports have come back? Can you tell us why that's in here?
Representative Morris.
Section 5, you said?
Section 5.
That is part of the governor's bill. Kathy? Ms. Novak, can you address that question?
Council Novak.
Mr. Chairman and members, this deletes a reference to performance reporting in this section. There are other sections of law that were enacted last year that give the Office of Higher Education responsibility for accountability and performance reporting for the post-secondary system. So this is a redundant reference.
Any other discussion of the bill? Seeing no discussion, the clerk will take the roll on the bill.
Not luck?
No.
MC?
Yes.
Abler?
Yes.
Abrams? Anderson?
Aye.
Beard? Bradley?
Yes.
Eskins?
No.
Carlson?
Aye.
Clark? Norman?
Yes.
Thorne?
Yes.
Earhart?
Yes.
Brayling? Hunter?
Yes.
Hamilton?
Yes.
Hilty?
Yes.
Holbert?
No.
Huntley?
Yep.
Kelleher?
Yes.
Cleansing?
No.
Frinky?
No.
Larson?
Yes.
Mariani? McNamara?
Yes.
Norness?
Yes.
Otremba?
Yes.
Osmet?
Yes.
Paymar?
Yes.
Brookavina?
Yes.
Ruth?
Yes.
Seifert?
No.
Smith?
No.
Solberg?
Yes.
Sikora?
Yes.
Vandeveer?
No.
Virginia?
Yes.
Walker?
Yes.
I can't read that.
There being 26 ayes and 8 nays, the motion prevails. The bill is passed. Members, this is the conclusion of the meeting for today. We'll make an announcement as far as what the schedule is for tomorrow. We'll email something out to you in terms of the omnibus bills that will be taken out tomorrow, later today. Representative Silver.
Mr. Chairman, do you have some kind of an indication yet at all of what
you know,
going to be forward?
As the former majority leader used to say, the situation is fluid, Representative Silver.
Mr. Chairman, how fluid is it? The meeting fluid?
Well, part of it may depend on just how many hours we sit in tax committee after this meeting, Representative Silver.
Mr. Chairman, does the tax committee meet tomorrow evening?
Yes, it does, Representative Silver.
And do you at least anticipate some kind of a meeting in the afternoon or in the morning for tomorrow?
Representative Solberg, I do not anticipate a Ways and Means meeting tomorrow evening. I do not anticipate one in the morning. If we have one, it'll be in the afternoon.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. With that, members, see no other business. The meeting's adjourned.